Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online right now, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've got those phone lines open, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is alive today. And this gospel message, saves us. It moves us from death to life. And we start to see it renewing our mind. We start to think differently. We've been talking about that all week, how we're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul addresses that again in the book of Ephesians. It says in verse 22 of chapter 4, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So the mind, how we think, is an essential part of our growing in grace, of our growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the fact that God saved us on the spiritual level. He saved us completely. He saved all of us. And so that salvation is going to work itself through every aspect of who we are, and eventually we're going to get brand new bodies, and that's when the whole thing is going to be complete as far as our experience is concerned. But right now we're seeing this gospel message really do something to this thinking of ours, renew our minds. And so today on the broadcast, I would love to challenge our listeners to call in and to share one way in which the gospel message has renewed their thinking. Mm-hmm. You used to think this way as a lost person, and now because of the gospel, you're seeing things in a different way. We would love to hear some of those stories. So sure. How has God renewed your mind? That's the question on the table today. We would love to hear from you right now on Basic Gospel.
At 844-322-2742, as I said earlier, the lines are wide open and a good opportunity for you to call and get straight through right now. Again, that toll-free number, 844-322-2742. And guys, while we're waiting for the phones to light up, a question that Richard forwarded to me from our friend Clay down in Central Texas, and the question concerns, the two books that are mentioned, the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. They're mentioned, he said, I think 14 times in Scripture. Where does it say that when a person is born again, his name is written in the Lamb's Book?
Interesting question. I don't think there's a verse that actually says that, you know, this is the exact time that it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows those who are his, and at a point in time, he's going to open it up. And, you know, what he has in his book is going to match the fact that of those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Richard, do you have any insight into this question?
It can be confusing because there are many places in the Old Testament where it talks about this Book of Life. And one of the places is in Exodus after the children of Israel completely failed, just utterly failed, while Moses was on the mountain receiving the law they had just pledged to keep. And they create the golden calf, and terrible things ensue. God calls Moses back up to the mountain and says, I'm going to blot them out of my Book of Life. Mm. And Moses says, well, if you do that, blot me out instead and save them. You know, so Moses is interceding, properly interceding, and so we see that under the old covenant, you could lose your salvation. You could be removed from the children of Israel for certain kinds of things. You go through Leviticus, and you can see all manner of issues that would cost you your identity as one of God's chosen people. But that, too, was a picture of what Jesus was going to fix in the gospel, in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so God does know who are his, and he writes names in his book of life and in the new covenant. If your name is there, your name is there. And we know from other passages, like, how do you receive forgiveness? Well, you must be in Christ to receive forgiveness. So it only makes logical sense that you must be in Christ to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. There would be no consistency otherwise.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting, just one deal, and then we're going to get to our phone lines. And question of the day, how has God renewed your mind? One example of that, we would love to hear from you. With an answer to that particular question on today's broadcast. But there's this Lamb's Book of Life, and that's where the names of those who have come to Christ by faith are recorded. But there's also a writing of God's Spirit on the human heart.
Yes.
You know, laws were written on tablets of stone for the old covenant. But in this new covenant, God chooses to write on our hearts that we belong to him, and
yes,
that's good news. And so we have that assurance within us, and that's what God wants to give us, more than we could ever dream or imagine. He wants to know that we genuinely belong to him, and he has urged his Spirit, sent his Spirit to write on the tablets of our hearts that we are indeed children of God. That's incredible news.
Oh, it is.
Yes, it is. Clay, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you.
Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Louisville, Kentucky with Mary Jo, listening to us on our great affiliate, WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. I was trying to tell somebody about Galatianism, and she said, can you give me an example? And I couldn't think of one, so I'm calling you.
Okay. Well, it's a good question, and I'll just read a passage out of Galatians that I think will help answer the question. It says in chapter 3, in the first five verses of chapter 3 are very, I think, important. And Paul starts out, you foolish Galatians. He knows how to win friends and influence people.
Oops.
Yeah, he just brings it out and says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? So you would answer that by believing what we heard. It was the gospel message that saved us, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And so he goes on to ask this question, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So that's Galatianism. We are trying to perfect ourselves through human effort, that it's on my shoulders to be a good Christian, to live the Christian life. So that's Galatianism. So we're trying to mix the grace of God with human works, and it just isn't going to work out very well for us. So that's what Galatianism is at its root. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call, as always.
Okay. Y'all have a blessed day.
You do as well.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
And if we're going to identify a problem within the church today, the biggest problem, we could pick a whole number of things, but I think the number one problem is this Galatianism.
Yes.
I mean, people are trying to perfect themselves through human effort. I think that's why the church is so anemic today. We're not relying on the very power of Christ Jesus. We're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to make a difference in this world through human ingenuity, through human understanding, through human effort. And we just don't have what it takes to make a godlike difference.
No.
Only God has what it takes to make a godlike difference. Well, that God is alive, living in us. And so we have the opportunity to trust. Our friend Andrew, who was on with us yesterday, he posted something on his Facebook page. He said, we just don't understand the importance of simply believing in Christ. That is the most important thing for us, simply to trust Jesus. We trust him for his death, burial, and resurrection, but even more so, we need to trust his life living in us to do in and through us what we can't do ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we get to there, that's when the Christian life really starts to kind of explode for us. And really we start to see, gosh, the power of it in our day-to-day existence.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Mary Jo. Well, let's go to Somerset, New Jersey, and talk with Anthony, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Anthony.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call, brother. My question is, in the secular workforce, how to maintain being the head and not the tail in an atmosphere that is filled with sexual innuendo, cursing, bitterness, social clicking, as a believer, trying to be a light. But what happens, I find myself, they want to push you out. They want to get bitterness inside of you, or they want to push you out so they have their own clique, and then pretty much you go out because you don't want to hear that stuff and affect you. And then when you go out, then you're not connected to the job and to knowing what's going on. And so I know it's the enemy, but could you give me some wisdom and some practical experience how to maintain that being the head and not the tail in Christ, and being able to have wisdom how to handle these things and not spiritually affect me?
Well, Anthony, I think you've identified part of the answer just in some of your comments. When you see sexual innuendo, when you see kind of worldly behavior, and those that are involved in that want to push you aside, they're doing it because you are as a child of light, you are exposing that for what it really is. And they don't want any part of that. So they want to push you out because they want to continue with that sexual innuendo and all of those things. So that's the reason they push you out. So, one, you don't need to take that personally. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, but how can I overcome it to maintain I walk above that and not let it affect me in regards to, the authority that God has given me?
Well, Anthony, I think there you just keep being a child of light. And, if they want to push you aside and say, wait a minute, we're doing a job, and we need to do the job, and we need to stay focused on that job. If you want to engage in these other things, there's lunch, there's after work. But right now we are being paid by this company to do the job. And I think you just keep putting that forward. And then I think you just keep doing the best job you possibly can. And what you're going to find, Anthony, is this, is that even though they don't want to engage with you on, some of the chit chat and the lighter things, when life gets heavy for them, when they find their back against a wall, they're going to seek you out as someone that can genuinely help them.
I know. I guess I just had to, when you get enough is enough, it's kind of like, I just don't want to hear this anymore. And I don't want to be self-righteous, because I know it's only by God's grace that he's saved me. But, but it still affects you because, I don't want to have those thoughts in my head either,
Yeah. Well, Anthony, there's some things that are appropriate in the workplace, and there are a lot of things that are inappropriate. And so for you to point out the things that are inappropriate, that you don't have to be a Christian to do that. A boss will stand up and say, that's inappropriate. There's a lot of companies that have dress codes, and if somebody violates the dress code, they point that out. Why? Because it doesn't match the image that the company wants to project. So there's bigger pictures there that are in play. So you don't have to, like I said, think I'm being a goody two shoes. No, this is just inappropriate behavior in the workplace.
Right.
has nothing to do with religious or spiritual or biblical things. It's just inappropriate, period, end of story.
And you know what? Thank you, because if I approach it from that way, it's not, oh, I'm a Christian, you're not a Christian, and that's why. It's just, this is inappropriate, period, for the workplace, and if anyone in authority above me disagrees with that, they have a problem.
Yes.
They're the ones that just, absolutely. Brother, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get you. I've been learning so much from you guys in the simple gospel and getting out of religion. And so I just thought, I just wanted to, you know, pick your brain a little bit about this. You know, so I appreciate
it. Well, I'm glad you called, because that's a very important issue. And it's we're all going to find ourselves in that kind of position at one point or another in our lives. So, Anthony, thanks for bringing it up today. I certainly appreciate it.
Okay, have a good day, sir. Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, you do as well. God bless you. Thank you for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Carl in Hyattsville, Maryland, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Carl.
Yes, greetings, my brothers in Christ. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I just have three brief questions. The first one pertains to the prophetic kingdom of God Daniel spoke of, and which many times in Western Christian theology, they speak of it as this heaven that some of you die and go to, rather than God and Christ ushering this kingdom here upon earth upon his return, and where immortality will be accomplished for those in Christ. Just ask me your views on that, about this promise. And the second thing, question, is about the rapture, which flows from that, where most American theologians, influenced by Darby and such scholars, speak about the church being raptured 7 years before the return of Christ, where the early church didn't uphold that. They said Christ's coming was one event. For the resurrection of the dead and the slaying of the Antichrist and setting up of the kingdom.
Okay, Carl, I think we get the gist of your question, and I really appreciate you bringing this up, and I think it's some important things that we need to discuss. When you look back at the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, you see the creation of this universe, and then God taking up residence within his creation. And so you kind of see a heaven and earth coming together in that creation story, don't you? And at the end of Revelation, in chapters 21 and 22, we see that taking place again. We see this new heavens, the new heavens, the new earth. We see a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And that's where we're going to reside, in this new Jerusalem. And God is going to be at the center of that. And he is going to light that particular city. And so we see this coming together of heaven and earth in that picture. And that's really the story of the gospel. Jesus Christ himself is that connection point between heaven and earth. He's what joins those two things together. And so
the restoration, right? That's the restoration, when God restores back paradise.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we are the first fruits of that restoration project. We have been restored back to life. We who were dead in sin have been made alive. We have the deposit of God's Spirit guaranteeing what's in the future. And today we have an opportunity to connect heaven and earth, just as we live out this gospel in a day-to-day basis. So I think you're right on track there, Carl.
With both issues, the kingdom of God and the rapture.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay. So what about the rapture, when it says that the church will be not go through the great tribulation, but will be whisked away, as opposed to the view that the church will be persecuted in the latter day, and it's Christ coming that intervenes that the elect will barely be saved.
Well, Carl, the 2,000-year history of the church has been one of persecution.
Yes.
It started in persecution, and that has continued. I mean, we've certainly had times in history where the church has flourished and, you know, seen, you know, abundant physical blessing and those sort of things. But the church is being built with a world system surrounding it that's opposed to it, right? So there's always opportunity for persecution of the church, and I think we're seeing that here in America. I think times are coming when the church is going to be more and more persecuted. So we're gonna see that. But as far as you know, what the Word of God has to say, we know this for sure: Christ is coming back, and when He comes back, we're going to be with Him. And this invisible kingdom that is here now is going to become visible with His presence. And the world will see us for who we really are as children of God.
Yes.
Yeah. Not suffering God's wrath is not antithetical to suffering the world systems and Satan's wrath. You don't have to be gone from here to not suffer God's wrath. I mean,
because Christ said he prayed that
Christ
that,
is already
not to take us out of the world, but to protect us from evil.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah, we're saved from the wrath to come in the sense of punishment for sin. Why? Because we're in Christ, and Christ has taken that for us. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're saved from the persecution of this world.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Carl. Sure, appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Caesar, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Caesar.
Hey, brothers. Good afternoon. God bless you guys.
And God bless you as well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. First, I want to also speak to my brother Anthony. I was just on the phone with you guys. I face it every day with the job that I have and the brothers I work with. You know, I know it's not an easy thing to deal with people, you know, you feel like a follower of Christ in the middle of Babylon, you know, but you stay focused, you know, and something that's worked for me is just meditating in the Lord and just speaking to the Lord whenever, you know, I feel like I'm being overwhelmed. Remembering also Galatians 1:10, which says, you know, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know, we're going to go through situations and persecutions. We're going to get ridiculed. But you stay strong, brother. You know, that's the fight. And, you know, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the greatest thing we can do is just live our faith and let them see what Christ does for us. Sooner or later, it's like you guys told them, when they go through tough times, they're going to want that strength that is in us because of our Lord. You know, and now to you, my brothers, about the renewing of my mind. The Lord has renewed my mind so many ways and is doing it every day, you know, because I die to myself every day. I carry my cross. The Lord says to be a follower of Christ, you know, we have to deny ourselves and carry our cross every day, you know, daily. And I find myself doing that every day and just being renewed in a whole new way.
Well, God is faithful to do that, Caesar. He's faithful to bring truth to our minds, which renews our attitudes, that aligns them with this new creation that we are in Christ. Well, Caesar, we sure appreciate your call today. Wish we had more time.
Yeah. Folks, please remember Basic Gospel and your giving, your prayers and gifts of the love of Jesus Christ. Keep it on the airwaves and online. Come on and join us, friends. Get involved. You can get involved and help us get the word out by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. And a gift of $15 or more, we'll get a copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on its way to you as our gift. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. That number, once again, 844-412-2742. And by the way, for additional copies of Bob's book, visit our online book site at simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Well, we're out of time for this edition. For Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.